You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to the broadcast of the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. To help you follow along, the order of worship for today's service is available under the radio tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org. The Lord bless you today through the hearing of His Word.
Good morning and welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. My name is Alex Lancaster. I'm filling in for Pastor Thomas today. Because I am not an ordained pastor, I wanted to let you know that apologetically that we will not be having the Lord's Supper this morning. Very sorry about that. Our order of service is a service of the Word based on Divine Service Setting 3. The bulletin is mostly correct, although there are a couple of things we'll have to omit. One of them being the confession and absolution, and the other being the benediction at the very end. Once again, I'm sorry about that. As I'm not a pastor, I won't be able to pronounce the absolution for you this morning. Are there any announcements before the service begins? All right. Seeing none, we will begin with our first hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, number 686.
Thank you.
Please stand. We continue with the introit as printed in your bulletin, and I understand we chant that in unison, is that correct?
Glory be to God on high.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have poured into our hearts the true light of your incarnate word. Grant that this light may shine forth in our lives. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Christmas is from Genesis chapter 46. So Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices to God, to the God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes." Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters. All his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with the gradual. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the sacred scriptures, we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our next hymn, number 385, From East to West. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you all from God our Father and from our incarnate Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This morning's sermon will be on the gospel reading. A blessed and merry Christmas season to you all. What the world calls Christmas is long over, but Christmas for the church continues, as you well know. Today is the second Sunday after Christmas, but our gospel reading is taken from the Feast of Holy Innocents, which is ordinarily observed on December the 28th. The Feast of Holy Innocents is a commemoration of the martyrdom of the baby boys slaughtered by King Herod. It might seem strange to observe this sober feast right in the middle of the joyful Christmas season, but as you know, cross and crown are always intertwined for the Christian. On the one hand, the penitential seasons of Advent and Lent are interrupted by the joyful Rose Sundays, and on the other hand, the joyful Christmas season pauses for a moment while we remember the children who were brutally murdered by King Herod. There's a great deal of historical information about King Herod. Herod was a bit of an enigma. One half of Herod was Edomite, and the other half was Jewish, meaning on the one side he was descended from Jacob, and on the other side he was descended from Esau. He publicly identified himself as a Jew, however. He ruled over the region of Judea, or Judah, as it was known in the Old Testament. This region was the southern portion of the Israelite territory that was divided into two nations after the idolatry of King Solomon. Importantly, Judah, or Judea's borders, contained Jerusalem and the temple. At the time of the birth of Christ, Judea was under the occupation of the Roman Empire, and Herod's governance was ultimately submitted to the authority of Caesar. Despite his self-proclaimed Jewish identity, Herod would have been seen by many as a traitor of the Jewish people and a servant and co-conspirator of evil Roman occupiers. The reality was a bit more complicated, but to an extent this was true. For much of his political career, Herod was an effective ruler who achieved a great deal and earned for himself the nickname Herod the Great. However, serious illness and too many years of intense political intrigue drove him quite mad in his last few years of life. He became paranoid, and he was jealous for his throne and his reputation. When he became ill at one point, he was afraid that if he died, the Jewish people would not mourn his death as much as he would like. And so he ordered that upon his death, hundreds of noteworthy Jewish nobles would be killed so that there would be a greater outcry of grief. No, that logic doesn't make sense to me either. It was in the midst of the time of Herod's worst madness and paranoia that Jesus was born. Quite simply, the devil took hold of the mad Judean king in order to persecute Christ. Shortly before the beginning of our gospel reading this morning, Herod had heard from the Magi that the king of the Jews had been born. Herod, thinking himself to be the king of the Jews, was both troubled and threatened by this news. You may recall that he sent the Magi to search for Jesus and then come back and tell him where this pretender of the throne could be found. Herod did all of this under the pretense of paying homage to Christ, but really, he desired to have this baby killed. God, however, knows the hearts of men and kings and warned the Magi in a dream not to return to Herod. And when Herod realized that they weren't coming back, he ordered that all of the baby boys in Bethlehem under the age of 2 be put to death. Death is ever the tool of the wicked tyrant. And the wicked tyrant is ever the tool of the devil. The devil rules this world in part through tyrants and threats of death. And the fear of death is a powerful weapon. All men are susceptible to it. Even we Christians who believe in the resurrection of the dead and who trust in the sacrament of holy baptism to effect salvation and resurrection for us, even we fear death. Though we know that eternal life is on the other side of death, even so, there is a palpable darkness and sense of evil about death,
And during times when death comes near to us, or worse, near our children, that darkness can permeate and infect our lives and steal our hope in Christ. This is why King David in Psalm 23 described life as a walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Think of that image. Life is like a walk through a dark and shadowy valley, and the thing casting the shadow is the giant looming mountain called death. Death covers life with a grim and evil feeling that lurks somewhere in the background of everything, especially our relationships. For example, marriage is one of God's most precious gifts to man, yet even in the vows made by a young and happy couple, those words loom, "Till death do us part." The joy of the announcement of a pregnancy is easily undermined by the fear of losing a child. I remember my own sleepless nights when my wife discovered she was pregnant for the first time. Taking young children for a happy visit with grandparents always seems to come with thoughts like, well, grandpa's heart has been acting up again, and grandma's emphysema sounds worse every time I see her. If they die, how will I explain this to the children? In short, our love for others is tainted by the persistent fear of losing them to death. The shadow cast by Death Mountain is long. It is no coincidence that Christ came into the world and was immediately confronted by death as by an enemy, because death is his enemy. St. Paul says that death is the final enemy. Death is what Jesus came to destroy, and it stalked him throughout the whole of his humiliation. The devil used Herod to confront Jesus with threats of death, and if the devil couldn't kill Jesus, he would at least take away the children of some of the believing families in Bethlehem. If he couldn't destroy the Christ child, he would settle for the consolation prize of making Christ's people despair by making all their worst fears come true. Jeremiah, who prophesied this event, personified all of those bereaved Judean mothers as Rachel, meaning as a faithful woman, but in this case, one who had fallen into inconsolable despair. Remember the quotation from Jeremiah chapter 31, as quoted in Matthew's gospel. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. I hope you could see that this passage of Matthew's gospel is depicting something far deeper and more sinister than a mere human tyrant jealous for his throne. Behind all of this lurks the devil's spiritual war against God. The slaughter of the holy innocents was more than an act of devilish murder, which is terrible enough. It was a cosmic act of blasphemy against God and his Son. But it was not an act that went unanswered by God. Matthew's quotation of this passage from Jeremiah 31 is telling. He only quotes this short sentence about Rachel, but Matthew assumes that his readers will read their Bibles and will read more of the chapter, and I will do so for you now. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, refrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. So far the prophet Jeremiah. This passage, in its original context, refers to the return from the Babylonian captivity, but I would argue also that it has prophetic significance for the Feast of Holy Innocents beyond that. This passage means that the children of the Judean women who were taken away captive into death will be restored to their mothers in heaven. Though death and the fear of death seemed to reign over this tragedy enacted by the devil and Herod, it took away nothing from Christ or from the church. The pain and the agony of the deaths of these children would be healed, and the separation of the children from their parents would end. Jeremiah goes on in the same chapter to tell us that this healing and restoration would happen through the promise of a new covenant. He writes, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. It is by the new covenant of the forgiveness of sins, forged by the blood of Jesus' cross, that the reunion of the innocents with their bereaved parents would be accomplished. It is by this new covenant of forgiveness that all of our sufferings and griefs will be healed as well. Though Christ and his people were immediately confronted by death upon Jesus' birth, death lost the battle. Until Christ returns, death still has some measure of a hold upon us. It is still our enemy, but it is a defeated enemy. When it comes for us, the only power that it has is to usher us into our eternal reward, because we have been given the same promise that was given to the holy innocents. All that we lose in this life will be restored to us 100-fold and more in eternity. Even if the worst should happen, and we, like Job, should lose everything and everyone that we love, Christ's incarnation, death, and resurrection have accomplished all that is needed to secure our heavenly hope. Even while we walk through this valley of the shadow of Death Mountain, we can pray with confidence that we fear no evil, because in Christ Jesus, God is with us. That's one of Jesus' Christmas names, right? Emmanuel, God with us, even to the end of the age. We commemorate the martyrdom of the holy innocents during the Christmas season so that we would remember the very reason Jesus became incarnate, to destroy the death that they suffered, and the death that we will all suffer too if the Lord tarries. We also commemorate these little children in order to give thanks to God for the promises to them that he has kept, and the promises that he will keep that he has given to us. He has already reunited those precious children with their parents in heaven and granted them their eternal reward. And he will do the same for us when our time comes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please turn in your hymnal to number 517 for our next hymn. A little note about this hymn. I'm sorry, is that me? Is that better? I'm so sorry. Good grief. Number 517, you may notice that there appear to be about 1,000 verses to this one, but do not fear. This is a flexible hymn for feasts and commemorations of the saints. So you'll notice verse 1 will happen as normal, but you see verse 2, it says, insert the stanza appropriate to the day. Our stanza for the day is number 9, the commemoration of the holy innocents. So we will sing verses 1, 9, and 3. Make sense? Very good.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, through your Son Jesus Christ, you have restored your divine image to mankind. In holy baptism, you give that image to us. Give us joy in our adoption as your sons and daughters. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, bless the work of pastors and missionaries. Bring forth your harvest from the seeds they sow. Support those who endure fiery trials for your name. As they shine the light of the gospel into hostile darkness, guard them with the sign of your holy cross. Let them rejoice that in tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, they share in your very sufferings. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you prepared a place for your Son Jesus in the womb of the Virgin Mary and in the home of Mary and Joseph. Bless our homes and all who dwell in them, that your word would be heard and your mercy be shown therein. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, uphold Donald, our president, Tony, our governor, and all our civil leaders. Direct their work toward the common good of all people as found in God's law written on our hearts and in your righteous decrees, especially to protect the unborn and those who cannot speak for themselves. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, you promise to be near to the brokenhearted and to save the crushed in spirit. Look with compassion upon the sick and suffering, especially Vicky, Lynn, Anita, Lois, Lewis, Chuck, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Doris, Matthew, Mark, Ethel, Bob, Gabby, Fred, Harold, Joan, Greg, Linda, Jaden, Rick, Lacey, Marilyn, Marlene, Erno, George, Anne, Jeff, the family of Dave Angle, and all those whom we name upon our hearts. Grant that they would cry out to you in their trouble and be delivered from their distress according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant us strength in times of trial and perseverance in grace during the day of trouble. Especially care for all who are persecuted for the sake of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, you allowed your Son, Jesus Christ, to become a stranger and sojourner in Egypt for our sake and led him safely home to his fatherland. Mercifully grant that we poor sinners who are strangers and sojourners in this perilous world may soon be called home to our true fatherland, the kingdom of heaven, where we shall live in eternal joy and glory. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The service concludes on page 202. We will omit both the salutation and the benediction, simply close with the Benedicamus.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. We conclude with our final hymn, number 918, Guide Me, O Thou Great Redeemer. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Thank you.
thank you for tuning in to the Divine Service at Zion Lutheran Church in Chippewa Falls. May the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If you have any prayer requests, please let us know. You may call us at 715-723-6380 or stop by and visit 110 East Grand Avenue in Chippewa Falls. If you're looking for a church home, we'll gladly tell you more about Zion or help you find a congregation near you. These broadcasts are paid for by generous gifts made to our radio fund. If you'd like to contribute, click the Give tab on our website, zionlcmscf.org, or send a check to Zion Lutheran Church Radio Fund, 110 East Grand Avenue, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, 54729. Zion is a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.